Thank you again, praise team. It's wonderful to sing the songs of the faith, more about Jesus. And that's what we need to hear, more about Jesus. But you see, we find Jesus all over the Bible. Not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament included. And what I'm going to do over the next couple of Sundays, I'm going to preach a series out of the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And what we want to talk about this morning is starting fresh. Because God gives us an opportunity to start fresh. The book of Lamentations tells us that His mercies are new every morning. And that's why I like seeing the morning when I get up, and I get up early to see the sunrise and to do whatever I need to do during the day. When I see that sun crest that horizon, I'm reminded of the beauty and the glory that God gives us. But not only the beauty and the glory of creation, but the beauty and glory of His willingness to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to give us a fresh start. You see, we're going to read about how the nation of Israel really needed the fresh start because of the things they were doing. But first, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank You for this time. Thank You that we can open up the book of what some call the greatest prophet in the Bible, Isaiah. Lord, as he spoke Your word to that people at that time. However, Your word is Your word, and it not only speaks to them, but it speaks to us. And Father, in that we pray that You will open up our hearts and our minds and let the Holy Spirit speak for itself, Lord. Take me out of this and let Your Word and Spirit do what they have promised to do, to illuminate the Word and to teach us of Your ways. We thank You, Father, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, there was once this man, and he had a son, and he was a farmer. And he had worked hard all his life, and he wanted to give his son the benefit of his toil and his son to carry on. So he went to him and he said, "Son, I want you to understand, all of this can be yours. Our land, our animals, our farm, our business, all of that. But you need to do certain things. You need to work hard. You can't be lazy and be a farmer. Anybody that's ever grown any tomatoes knows that. You cannot go around doing things that are not good, not only for our land and our farm, but for our family. And when you do all these things, you will get to be the head of this family. And if you do not do these things, you will lose everything in a matter of a year or two." And the son was kind of young. He was in his early 20s, and he hadn't really had any large responsibility. And he listened to him, but he was like the prodigal son. He wanted to go out and do these things. But his father, when he realized his son was kind of moving off, he said, "Now, come on, let's sit down and talk for a few minutes. Let's be reasonable. You know what you need to do. You need to do it. Or else if you don't do it, the things that I told you would happen would come true." And so the son learned. But unfortunately, sometimes when our father tells us things, we don't listen. We have our own mindset. We have our own way of doing things. And when we do this, sometimes it fails, and it fails disastrously. And you know, this is exactly what God was telling the nation of Israel in Isaiah chapter 1. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 1 in your Bibles, verses 16 through 20. Isaiah 1, 16 through 20. And this is the prophet speaking for God to the nation of Israel. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Isaiah is saying, this isn't me talking here. This is God. The mouth of God has spoken this. And that carries weight and it carries authority. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about how Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." We have to understand that never changes. When the Word of God speaks, whether it's written or incarnate, it is by every bit of authority that God has over His creation. We are His creation, so He has authority over us, whether we believe it or not, He does. So He spoke this to Israel. So we're going to be examining this text today with the aim of understanding God's desire to allow us a fresh start within our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, God would not say, let's reason together, unless He wanted the nation of Israel to come back to Him for a fresh start. And He speaks the same to us today. But before we get to that, we need to understand a little bit about Isaiah the prophet. I want to give you a little background of him and his times. Now, Isaiah's name means Yahweh is salvation. It's in the same group of names that we find Joshua and Hosea and Yeshua, Jesus. All of those mean, in some fashion, God, Yahweh, is salvation. So that was a good start. We learned from Isaiah 1 that the prophet was the son of a man named Amaz, who some believe was a member of the royal court of the house of Judah, because that gave them access to the king. It gave access to Isaiah and the king. He prophesied, Isaiah did, concerning Judah and Jerusalem during the reign of four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, as some people call him, and Hezekiah. Now you can figure this out time-wise. It was around 740 to 686 B.C. And this is important because during this time, the northern kingdom fell. Samaria fell to the Assyrians, and the Babylonians were rising up. So there were threats coming, and there were all kind of things going on at this time. And in fact, Isaiah is mentioned in the Bible other than his book. He's mentioned many times in 2 Kings and at least three times in 2 Chronicles. He was a real man with a real message to a real people. And that message continues to this day. In fact, we know of Isaiah's calling. It was not a calling of man. It was not someone voting him in to be preacher. It was not someone telling him he was an apostle. It was God Himself on His throne. How do we know this? Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. You don't have to turn there, but I want to remind you of His calling. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, that is Yahweh, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, Isaiah had this vision. He was in the presence of God and the angels that surround the throne. Smoke was filling the temple, and when the angels spoke, the whole place earthquaked. Imagine yourself in a situation like that. You know, I would either be dead of a heart attack or face down with my nose in the gravel. That is a powerful image, but Isaiah realized this. So he said in verse 5, Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was scared. He said, I'm undone. I'm dead. I am dead. I've seen the King. I have seen God. I'm a man of unclean lips. I am a sinner, and I'm in the presence of God. How can I stay alive? How can I be done? Well, at that moment, starting at verse 6, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send, or who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. That moment God commissioned Isaiah to be the prophet that he was. And he gave him a message. And part of that message we just read. So he was commissioned during the time of upheaval, during the time where the northern kingdoms fell, all these things. But there were faithful kings around him, and there were unfaithful kings around him. And they needed to hear a word of the Lord. Our leaders, our politicians, our heads of family, we all need to hear a word from God. We all need to hear something that provides the authority of God for our lives so that we may serve Him as we serve others. And when we do that, we are acting on faith because God has given us the Word. He has given us the Lord, who is the living Word, Lord Jesus. He has given us all these things. In fact, as we talked about this morning, folks, if you're not in Sunday school, come to Sunday school because it is a good experience and you learn a lot. But when he said he has all authority, he also sent them out on a mission. He commissioned them to go out. And that commission applies to us as well, because the word that was given to them is the same word given to us. And when we understand that, we are filled with the power. And even Jesus himself said, I'm with you always. The question was asked in Sunday school. I was paying attention, brother. What does it mean to you that Jesus has all authority and Jesus is with you? I'm kind of conflating two separate questions. But it means that I can go out and I can do anything He calls me to do because I've got backup. I know He is with me. And come the forces of hell or whatever that's out there coming after us, if we realize that Christ is behind us, with us, for us, beside us, He is not going to let us fail. He is going to let us accomplish our mission, and we're going to be able to have that fresh start every day to tell others about it also. And brothers and sisters, that's something we can look forward to. The people of Judah had forsaken their God. They had forsaken their God. They had turned to other gods. They had become selfish. How do we know this? Well, the majority of verses prior to our text today, and I'll get to our text, we've already read our text, of God's anger with the people of Judah. In fact, God called the prophet to chastise Judah for her unfaithfulness. That's verses 2 through 4. Pronounced the consequences of their rebellion against Him, verses 6 through 7. And these consequences included personal as well as societal wounds and national destruction. What does that mean, brother? What are you saying? Well, I'm going to read it for you. Isaiah chapter 1, I ask you to join me. Verses 1 through 15. 1 through 15. This is all a prelude to our text today. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backwards. Folks, this not only sounds like Israel, this sounds like us as a nation. Think about the things that are going on. Are they godly things? That's why we need to hear the word of the Lord. That's why we need to hear these prophets. Because the word that they had then is the same word to us. Let me continue. Verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? That's in regular English. That means why do you want keep getting whooped? Why do you want keep, excuse me, why do you want to keep being punished? No one likes to be punished. But sometimes it's necessary. And God had been doing this over and over and over again to get their attention. Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even into the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither modified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate. It's overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, that is Jerusalem, is left as a cottage in a vineyard and a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. He's saying, all this ceremonial stuff you've been doing for us, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Why? Because your heart's not there. Your soul is not there. You're not there to do what I have called you to do, because you've forsaken me. Starting at verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, and is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. God hates ceremony without the heart. Now, ceremony's fine if your heart's in it. But if your heart's not in it and you're just doing, well, I got baptized when I was a baby, so I'm good, but I'm living like a heathen. No, that is a false ceremony. Because you couldn't profess faith when you do those things. Y'all can tell I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist, all right? You baptized on profession of faith. And then it says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, because your hands are full of blood. Don't we realize, brothers and sisters, that our country, a lot of our prayers are not being answered because as a country, our hands are full of all kinds of blood. But you know, there's hope. And that's what we're going to get to this morning. We also see, and I spoke on this just a second, that false ceremonial worship is worthless. In fact, God said He hates it. He hates it with the parades and all the fancy stuff that goes on if there's no love for Him behind it. If there's no worship, if there's no praise, if there's no true prayer in our lives. You know, it's like when we used to be kids and we would say grace at dinner. You know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, or some such nonsense. That's not saying grace. That's not being thankful. What it is just saying, okay, I know I got to do something for God. I did it. I hope you're happy with it, God, and go on about your business. No, that is not how we should be. Every time we go before the throne of God, we're going in the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for us. And if we don't recognize that fact, it's just empty ceremony that God hates. People trust ceremony for their salvation. I've known people that came to me and said the right words and lived for a little while, and you know, they were baptized, but 6 months, a year, 2 years later, there's no fruit of repentance. There's no evidence. So what did that baptism do for them? Didn't do anything but get them wet. But if you have someone who comes and professes faith and God has recreated that person and made them new in Christ and that person believes with all their heart and are baptized, they're going to be saved. Not because of the baptism, we talked about that this morning too, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, now we should be baptized, we do it in obedience to our Savior. Just like we do the Lord's Supper. That's the two great things we do as a church together. We baptize new believers and we participate, all believers, in the Lord's Supper. We do that because we show God honor. We are obedient. But if we didn't have anything, it's just like, you know, somebody come to the Lord's Supper, he pops the cracker and drinks the juice and goes out about his merry way. Did it do anything for him? Of course not, it didn't do anything for him. Why? Because there was no faith, there was no love, there was no trust. And this is what God was telling the people of Israel. Don't do all these things that are ceremony when you don't have a heart for me. You've turned from me. Even a cow knows its owner. Even a donkey knows its owner. But your people don't even know me anymore. That's what Isaiah was commissioned to tell the people of Israel. We see these verses that God does not... Well, let me read our text again today. Starting at verse 16, Isaiah 1, 16... Isaiah 1, 16 through 20. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Now this was just after he had said all this stuff that they were doing bad, and he's basically just saying, knock it off. Stop. I am God, and this is what I'm telling you. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And here's the hope. Come now, and let us reason together. Now, this is not two people arguing, okay, of which one's got the better idea. This actually is legal language, and basically this is not saying let us reason together. God is saying let's be reasonable. He's saying, listen, this is common sense. Be reasonable and hear and obey. That's what he's saying here. Then now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. We see in these verses that God does not desire Judah to be utterly destroyed for their sinfulness. You'll read in a lot of the judgments, you read in this prophet and other prophets, that these other countries, these pagan countries that hated Israel, they would be completely destroyed and devoured. But not so the people of Judah. God wanted Judah to return and to love Him as much as He loved them. He wanted to clean them. How many of y'all have ever got blood on something white? I remember I had a first cousin, and it was an Easter Sunday. And y'all remember back when you used to get brand new clothes for Easter Sunday? And he had a nice white pair of jeans that he had on. And he had a nice light blue shirt that had like little flowers, pastels. Y'all remember the 70s, okay? I'm not the only one. They were bell bottoms, by the way, if you want to know about that. And he had these nice, bright, crisp, white shoes. I mean, my aunt made him up one head down to the other. And the worst beating I've ever seen any child get at church was the fact that right after Sunday school, he went out and played football. And he had blood, mud, and grass all over those nice, white pants. And we saw him a couple of weeks later, and he was wearing the same pants, but you could tell no matter how hard she had tried to scrub them, they were not going to scrub out. You cannot move blood and grass and mud and all that from nice white completely unless you have something interfering like bleach or something like that that will help clean that. And you see, it is God Himself who cleanses us from our sins, from all the muck and the mud and the blood that we have covered ourselves with. He cleanses us from it if we are willing to be obedient and obey the Word of God. If you're not willing, you're still in your sins. But you got to be willing because God will give you a change. God will change your heart. He will change your life. In fact, God does not want anyone to perish. In fact, He says in 2 Peter 3:9, He says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Not willing that any should perish. God does not want anyone to go to hell. He makes a way where we don't have to. And brothers and sisters, that narrow way that we talked about, when we talked about the two ways, the two roads, it is open for everyone that will go through the gate, that will believe on the Lord. God wants everyone to come to repentance. Now, does that mean everyone will? No. It doesn't mean everyone will. There are folks in their own pride and their own arrogance and their own selfishness that say, "I'm the master of my fate. I don't need to believe in God. I got here on my own, and I'm going to get out of here on my own. And when I get to hell, I'm going to party with all my friends." They have no idea what that means. There's not going to be any partying in hell. There's not going to be a little guy with a red suit and a pitchfork sticking you in the rear end. There is weeping, darkness, gnashing of teeth, and the lake of fire eventually. Brothers and sisters, but we need to know that as a truth, but we need to tell them that there's a way out of that. There is a way out of that. Yahweh God sets out some steps that the people needed to take so that their eyes, their hearts, and their minds might be set on Him. They must wash themselves. Now remember, the Jewish people cleansed themselves both ceremonially and physically before they did things for God, whether they gave sacrifices or synagogue or whatever. They washed themselves. So in their mind, when God said wash themselves, it was a reminder that they need to be pure before Him. Now here's a question. On our own, can we be pure before God? Of course not. We have to be washed. And what are we washed in? We're not washed in pure water unless you consider the fountain of living water. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And in that washing, we are made pure. We are cleansed of our sins, both past, present, and future. That is not license. That is not fire insurance. That is not, I'm going to go out and live like I want because I've been baptized. No, what that is an assurance that no matter what you've done, God will forgive you. The only thing that the Bible says that you will not be forgiven is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And to me, that means rejection until death. If you die in your sins, there is no hope. But if you don't die in your sins, if you die in the arms of Jesus Christ, there is willingness, there is love, there is mercy, there is compassion, and praise God, there is forgiveness and cleansing for all who come to Him in repentance and faith. They must shun evil things. That means there's actions, there's deeds, there's words, all these things. And stop doing the evil. That's all the things they had talked about, the idolatry and the turning their back on God and their oppression of people and their sins and their selfishness. All these things they need to stop doing. Now, on our own, can we stop doing it? No. Again, it is Jesus Christ that gives us the ability to shun these things. It's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that gives us the wisdom to walk away from things that we know are not godly. All these things. They must also exercise their righteous words into actual living. These included things like doing well, which I believe means following the law of God, relieving the oppressed, helping others when given the opportunity, when they're in bad situations and you can help them out, judging the fatherless and pleading for the widow. That means being kind and helpful to those who have no one else to stand for them. We have communities. And again, brother, I'm sorry to steal your Sunday school lesson, but I worked all this in before that, okay? That was a God thing going on. We have communities out there that have as far from God as can possibly be. And yet within those communities, there are people who have not fully rejected God. They just don't know any better. And they've not heard the Word of God. And no one has been kind to them. No one has been compassionate. No one has been Jesus to them in their whole lives. But brothers and sisters, we have that chance. We have that opportunity as ambassadors of Christ, as children of God, as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, as the family of God, to bring in new family members and to love them. Are they always going to be perfect? Are we? Are we perfect? In Christ, we are. But outside of Christ, in our physical carnal state, no, we still make mistakes. But we repent and believe that Jesus has died for our sins. And that gives us the ability to make that fresh start. See, I'm bringing this full circle back to the fresh start. We can go out and we can be the people God has called us to be. And when we do that, are there going to be troubles? Are there going to be hiccups? Are there going to be the devil and all his little minions running around trying to upset things? Of course there are. For not only are we ambassadors, we're warriors. We're warriors for the cause of Christ. We used to sing the song about Christian soldiers. That's what we are. But our enemy is not the person. Our enemy is the evil and the wickedness behind that person. And when we love that person and we pray for that person. Now there are some hard nuts to crack out there. But most of them will turn to God. Not because of selfish reasons, but because someone loved them enough to tell them the truth. And that's what Isaiah was doing here. In fact, I love the part, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as wool, white as snow." These verses show God's love for His people. He calls them to reason with Him over the sins. That's Him saying, be reasonable. Listen to what I'm telling you. You know, when you have a child and that child does something and they do it sometimes purposefully, but sometimes they don't know any better. And you sit down and you talk to them and you try to say, look, let's be reasonable here. This is this and this is that and this is what's going to happen. You need to believe me. And God is saying the same thing not only to Judah but to us. He offers forgiveness and cleansing. We also read, well, I'll get to that verse in a minute. We read a verse about cleansing in the New Testament. He proclaims that they, that is Judah, through faith and obedience, can receive blessing and goodness. And we can see God's will here. First, we can see that God wants to forgive His people. He wants to forgive us. You think He would have sent His Son to the cross if He didn't want to forgive us? He could have just done what the mythology says the old pagan gods used to do and just zap you with a bolt of lightning. But no, God is a real God, a loving God, a living God, and He wants to forgive you. But do you want to be forgiven? You see, that's the key. Your heart has to be humble to admit you're a sinner, to admit your sins, and be willing to receive the forgiveness. Fresh start. God wants to forgive His people. And then God wants to cleanse His people so that they have a right relationship. As we talked about in the ceremony the Jewish people used to have of cleansing themselves, purifying themselves. Okay? We need to purify ourselves before we meet with the Father. How do we do that? Through Jesus Christ. We are made whole. We are made complete. If you read the Old Testament law, somebody that has a physical deformity or something, they were not even allowed to come into the tent of meeting. Into the tabernacle. Because they were not whole. Now that seems a little harsh to us, but God was setting that as an example. You must be made whole, and only God can make you whole. He healed in those days. He heals now to make you whole. Sometimes it's a permanent healing, but a healing nonetheless. It's an amazing thing. He wants to forgive us and He wants to cleanse us so that we can have the right relationship. When you're cleansed, then you can go before the Father in Christ because you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You can go before the throne of God and lay your petitions at His feet. We can do that. But do we do that? Some of us may. Some of us may not. And then God wants to bless His people and He wants to give them good things. God does want us to be happy. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity, okay? Because no matter your situation, if you are in Christ, you have joy. You have peace. Now, you're going to have your sins come up and anxious and worry. That's normal for people. You're not unusual when that happens. Happens to me a lot. But knowing that Christ is there with me, knowing that I am a child of God, even in those situations, gives me peace and gives me joy. And that's what He's talking about. He wants to bless His people and to give them good things. If you live your life right, and what I mean by that is you live in faith, you may not have all you want, but you will have all you need. And God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Because He loves us. Well, how does this apply to us? Forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, by shed blood on Calvary's cross. We who trust in His name as Savior and Lord are cleansed. We were cleansed, we're being cleansed, and we will be cleansed. Because it's a continuing thing. The cleansed word in the Greek is an action with ongoing results. That means it happens and it keeps happening. And that's a wonderful thing to know. We are cleansed of all unrighteousness when we repent and believe. We receive blessing when we exercise our faith in and through Him. Now, you want proof of that? You want more than just Brother Charles saying this up here? I'll give you Scripture. Psalm 103 says this, talking about spiritual cleansing and forgiveness are through Christ alone. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is what is for a believer. It says we are forgiven. It says we're healed. It says we're redeemed. And it says we're crowned with love and tender mercies. Have you exercised those crowns? We need to. Now that psalm, let me read in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, that is Jesus, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It is in Christ that we're cleansed. It is in Christ that we are forgiven. All these things match what Isaiah was told. Let us be reasonable. Come now, let us reason together. Your sins are, though they be like scarlet, they will be white as snow. This is only in Christ. And then 1 John 1:9, which I said earlier, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And catch this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleanse means washing. And that is what God said to Isaiah. He said, though your sin, they will be white as snow. It is a cleansing, it is a washing, and only in Christ is it available to us. But that's the blessing, because when that happens, the fresh start occurs. No matter how grubby and ornery you were at any time in your life, Christ forgives. Christ shows mercy. He has compassion. And He cleanses us. How many of y'all have ever had a day out? You might be working in the garden, or you might be working on something, mechanicing, or working up with plaster or whatever, and you are just covered head to toe in grit and grime and stinky things I won't even remind you of. Many of us have been there. And many of us have stepped in a shower, and we have soaped up, and we have cleansed ourselves, and when we come out of that shower, we feel fresh. We feel new. We feel cleansed. But that's only the physical. But when you step in the fountain of blood that is Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, you come out fresher than a newborn babe. But why? Because you are recreated. You are regenerated. You are reborn as a child of God. And that's what God wants. He wants us to have that fresh start. I ask the same as Isaiah when he spoke to Jerusalem and Judah. I say the same thing because it is the Word of God. Come to Jesus and see His mercy. Come and reason with God because Jesus is God. Come to God and know His loving kindness that is available to you and all who call upon His name in faith and repentance. Is the Spirit of God prompting you to come to Him? Is the Spirit of God moving in your life? Waving red flags saying, look, you need to come back to God. You need to be born again, or you need to start again. Because see, that's what the whole thing in Lamentations is about. It's about His mercies are new every morning. You can start any time. If you've wandered away from God, you can pray and God and repent and God will forgive you and you're that newborn baby again. Now the consequences of your actions may still be around. It's like the old saying, you go out and you borrow your daddy's car and you get drunk and you crash it. You're going to be walking for a while. Your daddy will forgive you, but you're going to be walking. So there may be consequences, but you are clean. You are clean in the blood of Christ. I want us to think about in our mind's eye. When Isaiah was saying this, he was saying it, but I want you to picture Jesus. I want you to see the nail-scarred hand reaching out. He has set before you life and death. Choose this day whom you shall serve. Choose life that you may live and live life more abundantly according to the will of God. Why must you choose life? Because the alternative is rejection of God. And what does he say about rejection? Well, verse 20 in Isaiah 1 says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, we don't like to hear that part about God. We love to hear the mercy and compassion, and it's all true. But when we hear of God's sovereignty, and we hear of God's justice and mercy, you see, we don't want justice from God. Do y'all realize that? Because if we had justice from God, not a one of us would be in heaven. We want mercy. We want love. We want compassion. And He gives it abundantly if you will but repent and believe. To refuse, to reject, means to purposely refuse. Rebellion means to go completely against the authority of God over His creation. If one chooses this path, sure destruction awaits. Yet the Father wants to cleanse us sinners so that we may be with Him and enjoy Him forever. Can you imagine that just for one moment? No sickness, no death, no anger, no anxiety, no worry. You don't have to worry about anything. You are in the presence of Almighty God. We're not going to be just up there playing harps on a cloud, okay? That's a myth and that's not true. We are going to be given things to do and we're going to do it with Christ. We're going to come back with Christ. If you read Revelation 19, when He comes on that white horse and He's got that name written on His thigh, a new name, who is with Him? The saints are with Him when He comes back. And we will reign with Him. We will have power, but we don't do it for the power. We will have the ability to judge angels or other people. We're not going to do that either. Well, we will do it, but we're not doing it for that reason. We're doing it for that right there. We're doing it because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might have the righteousness that is in Him. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. The righteousness of Christ. So that fresh start we want He's right there in front of you. It's right there in front of you. Our Savior went to the cruel death of the cross so that He might pay our sin debt and that we might believe in the One who sent Him. Let us be willing and obedient to the will of God and the Word of the Father through Christ the Son by the power over the Holy Spirit. You see, and I'm about to wrap up. Jesus was God-man. He was 100% God and He was 100% man. Jesus told, if you could read it in the book of Mark, He said that so that you will believe that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say get up and walk, talking to the paralytic. Jesus has the power because He is God to forgive. But you see, it wasn't God that sinned. It was man that sinned. And I don't know about you, but a person who makes a debt, he's the one that has to pay that debt. If I go and buy a car, go down here to the bank and borrow the money, my first cousin isn't going to pay the debt. None of you guys are going to pay the debt. I have to pay that debt. So when man sinned, man hath to pay the debt. But praise be God, He became man. He became one of us. He dwelt among us. And because He was also 100% man, He could pay the debt that we owed. And as He paid the debt that we owed, He offered the forgiveness so that in Christ we are cleansed of that debt. So that is the fresh start we desire, that our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. To be made right with God, to not have our sins counted against us, to believe on Him who makes us whole. I crave this fresh start every morning. Every morning, even if it's just a second, I thank God for the day and I say, Lord, let's help me not to mess up today. Because I know that it's a brand new day and the mercies are new and the forgiveness is new and everything is new in Him. So if you, brothers and sisters, desire that fresh start, make yourselves right with God. Come to Christ. Be made clean and whole. Be made fitted for the service in the kingdom. And rest in the arms of the Savior. Now, I want us to understand, just walking the aisle and praying a prayer ain't going to save you. You have to be made right with God. You have to be reborn. As I gave the example earlier, just because you say one thing at one time and are baptized doesn't mean you're saved. It's a good sign to show that you are. It's a public profession of what you believe. Or as one person once put it, it's an outward sign of an inward change. I think we talked about that too this morning, didn't we, brother? I'm not stealing your material, I promise. But what we do is we trust the faith that we have in Christ. You see, Jesus had faith, and we are to have the same faith as Jesus. He paid our debt. And in Him, we have forgiveness of sins, and we have cleansing from all unrighteousness. So if you desire a fresh start, repent and believe. Repent and believe, for this name, the name of Jesus, is above all names. And in Him alone, we have something worthy to be praised. You see, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 is very clear. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God has been gracious. We even read that about when He was talking about Israel. It's only because I've loved you that I haven't destroyed you. But He goes on to say, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I'm not going to burst out into a song, but when I read that, I really want to. Because the Lord's faithfulness gives us that fresh start. The repentance and the faith that we need, God gives us the ability to have that. He loves us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance and that all men should know the love of Christ. Will it happen? No, but He wants it. But because He loves us, He gave us that choice. We can reject Him or we can accept Him. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that we could hear Your word from Your prophet from so long ago, meant for another people, but so applicable to us today. Lord God, let us take this opportunity to receive that forgiveness, to receive that cleansing, or to turn our hearts back to You, Father. And Lord God, in doing so, I pray that Your Spirit will move this morning. I pray that You will grow the people here, Lord, in spiritual maturity, that they will see You every time they turn around, and they will know that Your presence is with them. We thank You, Father, for all Your mercy and grace. and in your Son's most precious name. Amen.